Gee, you were, oh, is this Robin Bailey's yawning. You were dusty. You were dusty today, weren't you, mate?
Oh, it's not bad. Actually, I did improve after being forced to drink and then throw up into a bin, but I think it was the pepper that stayed
was
in
it?
My system. I don't know.
I'm going to challenge that. I looked in the bin. It wasn't spew. That was just egg and the contents of the glass. You just spat that out.
Well,
it's got to come from deep amongst your stomach.
Another one.
Well, how come you then gagged? How can you gag on a raw egg that just...
The Worcestershire. I don't like Worcestershire.
Fair enough.
This is the hangover cure, of course, that we made her drink egg cavalry.
Yeah, it was a caller who called in and gave us... You know, you'll hear it on the catch-up, and you can see it on all of our socials.
Raw
as well.
Eggs. In Tabasco.
God, I know. Isn't it yucky? Anyway, you did really well. Well played. Plenty of other things in the catch-up. We spoke to the bloke that won $1 million with Tabcorp. He was pretty happy.
How good was him? It was him. I can't even put words together.
Good English, yeah. Right, off you go.
You're done. See you, mate.
That's us. See ya.
Bye.
For the Brisbane International presented by Suncorp, December 31 to January 7. Tickets on sale now through Ticketek.
Now, Robin, you had a great day yesterday, but today, safe to say, you are hungover.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I may still be slightly inebriated, so much so that I got a cab in this morning because I didn't want to take the risk.
Well, and you're not feeling well.
I don't feel great. I have to be honest. I know that that's incredibly unprofessional. The day after Melbourne Cup. And yes, no, I believe that you have to front up regardless of how you feel, but...
It's the first time I've been sober after Melbourne Cup.
Wow.
Yeah. First time.
Wonders.
Ever.
Sinking shandies, weren't you?
Yeah, drinking gold shandies.
Why? What happened?
Oh, I had to go home and meet... There was a meeting on at home.
Oh, so you had to be responsible.
I had to be responsible I went home and
Greg
did some
Martin.
Hedges. That has never happened before.
Isn't this a turn up for
so
the books?
I'm so proud of you with a hangover.
Are you?
It's great.
I'm not... Look, and everyone, it's bless
fabulous.
You all for offering me Red Bulls and Baroccas and brekkie wraps.
But why won't you take any of the options?
I don't want anything because I don't... I honestly, hand on heart, because I'm not sure I'd make it through after I ate it to the toilet.
If you had a spew, that would go viral.
No.
Oh, just stick your finger down your throat, have a spew, or put it up online. Wouldn't that go crazy?
No, we're not doing that. That's hideous and disgusting and revolting.
All right. What we can do then, why not this? Let's get everyone's best hangover cure. I know we normally this would be a Monday thing, but there'd be a lot of people out there who've got a surefire way to fix a hangover.
God, there were a lot of people out last night. Like someone said they walked down Caxton Street at 8 o'clock last night. Mm. There were people everywhere. And there were cabs everywhere flying around. There were people out all over the joint on a Tuesday night. What so there's a lot of people like you.
Best hangover cure. The best one is going to get a prize. It's the best, especially if there's one that's a bit of a consensus.
Sausage and egg McMuffin.
No.
Yeah,
that just makes me want to dry reach thinking about it.
And on Brisbane's Triple M at 6:42, top of 25, partly cloudy. Marto and Ed, pretty chipper. Robin Bailey, not so much on 133353, looking for hangover cures because you partied too hard yesterday, Robin.
I'm not proud of myself.
Gee, this isn't good. Blake's texted me. I don't even know who this is. Ask Robin if she'd like a hot fish milkshake. That's terrible.
Oh, that's a
whoever
bit
you
much.
Are, that's disgraceful. Put that away. You all right?
Yeah, no.
No.
Paul of Raceview, what is that? What's your cure?
Come on. Mate, this will fix you up, no problem at all. Pass down from your dad. It's, when you're feeling a bit dusty like you are.
Mm.
It's called a prairie oyster. So what you do is you get a glass.
Yeah.
Crack a raw egg into it.
No.
Don't break the yolk.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of Worcestershire sauce. Yeah. Tabasco, salt and pepper.
Yeah.
And as you drink it, you burp and break the yolk in your throat.
Wow. That is like a MasterChef mystery box. Now tell me something, Paul. What happens after you have it?
You either feel good or you're in the bathroom.
Yeah. Okay. how are the odds? Like, is it running 50-50 for your life, Paul?
No, it's running about 90%. 90% in favour.
In the toilet.
That's really good, Paul.
Yeah.
Can't get wrong. A couple of mixed powders, Dad used to say as well, but... I don't think you can get them anymore.
No. Bex powder
and a
good lie down.
There was cocaine in those Bex powders that our parents used to have.
No wonder people lay down afterwards.
Now, let's have one more. Let's have one more.
I can't.
Let's have one help. Now, Paul's given you a beautiful idea there, so we're going to do that. And then here comes Ben. Ben's from Bridgman Downs. Ben, you've got a wonderful cure for Robin's hangover.
Yes, if she's a little bit tired, then go for two good Bloody Marys. I've used it and I've given it out to others, and it's the best pippy up I've experienced and seen.
That just gets me drunk again.
Yeah.
That might be part of it.
Why two, Ben? One won't do the job?
No, it's just I've seen some pretty dusty people, have yeah. two, and then they become the life of the party again. Gets the energies up, the tomato juice, and, you know, as the other guy said, the Tabasco and the Worcestershire and the salt and pepper, and you're away for a day too.
Awesome.
She's not yeah, looking bro. To back up.
No, she's looking to get better.
Yeah, no,
that's
thanks.
That's the weekend cure, no. I think. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, John of Kippering, have you got anything?
Yeah, sure have, Robin. Mm. Get yourself a tank of pure oxygen. Get on that for about half an hour. That'll fix you straight up.
Oh, I'd love
that's
that.
The hangover cure there is.
Okay, who's got a tank of oxygen? Like, how do you get a tank of oxygen?
Don't casinos in Vegas have it and they pump it into the rooms every 4 hours to wake people up and make them go bedding because it makes you feel unbelievable. Is that right, John? Where do you hear this? Have you ever done it?
My cousin's a clearance diver, mate, and those guys know what they're doing, drinking terps and whatever. And there you go.
So they get on it, then they have oxygen and go diving.
They just go and run 20 miles, mate.
No. Yeah, but you can't. Where do you get a tank of oxygen? Like, seriously.
Probably the hospital.
Probably. Should we get an ambulance?
Actually, you know what? That is the case. Those doctors and nurses, they put things into themselves. I don't know whether it's tablets. Sometimes they inject something that makes them. Maybe it's only saline, is it?
Yes, I know the thing you're talking about.
They know how to fix themselves up.
Yes, they do.
It's unfair.
It is unfair.
I need a prize for John. That was just the idea of running 20 miles or just rocking up at a hospital. That is just so wonderful.
John, you're off to Paul Kelly, Triple M presenting Paul Kelly at the River Stage, 11th of November. And that's this weekend, isn't it? Ticketmaster.com.au on you, John.
Unreal. Thanks very much.
No worries.
Paul Kelly, silver cab to the door.
Oh, thanks.
Triple M. Robin Bailey's on the path to wellness. She woke up feeling pretty hungover after the Melbourne Cup yesterday, but not for much longer.
Well, you can see the video of Robin on all of our socials of her sabra-rushering a champagne bottle with the fascinator that Marto made her at a wonderful time at the Melbourne Cup festivities.
Really fun yesterday at 1 o'clock, wasn't it, when you were knocking the top off champagne bottles with a sabre sword?
I know, it was so fun. And the Osborne was awesome and I had a great time, but just there must have been bad bubbles.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Because now today you're hungover and
badly.
We've asked this morning, we knew that people would have hangover cures and was it Paul from Raceview who called in with an absolute pearler?
Well, we're gonna make it as he explains it, Mark.
Well, he
so
called it
ready?
A prairie oyster, and there'll be some bushies who will realise that a prairie oyster is also a cast testicle cooked in garlic. It's
yeah,
a
that's
delicacy.
What I thought it was.
Beautiful. I'm not eating that.
We couldn't get our hands on that.
No, garlic.
But Paul suggested the other sort of prairie oyster. He and Paul swore by it that his old man used to always have it when he had a hangover.
Okay, well, Paul's going to explain it and you're going to make it and then apparently I'm going to drink it.
Can we just do it slowly? I've got all the ingredients, I think.
Yes, and okay, here we go with Paul.
So what you do is you get a glass.
You got your glass?
Glass.
Yep. Right. Glass is ready to go.
Crack a raw egg into it. Don't break the yolk.
Righto, don't break the yolk.
You can if you want to.
No, egg is in.
Yep.
Yummy. Yolk is unbroken.
I've got a bin here that's for something else.
Do we keep going?
Yep.
Bit of Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire. Yeah.
Kath loves Worcestershire sauce. Oh, your wife.
This is big in our
yummy.
I know. She carries it in a handbag.
That's quite an American freeport there.
Oh, man, this is not good.
Well, it didn't say how much. No, Paul,
I like
what
it.
Else?
Very liberal.
Tabasco.
Tabasco. How much do we need, ladies and gentlemen?
That's enough. That's enough.
Wow, that's frisky.
That's about 10 that's bloody frisky. Drops of Tabasco.
Paul, Tabasco.
Salt and pepper.
Just a little. Don't be.
Listen, mate.
Marto, stop. Okay,
whiskey.
That's and just like about just 10 pitches.
Pepper, there you go.
Okay.
Keep going, Paul.
Now,
and if you drink it,
sorry.
You burp and break the yolk in your throat.
I'm not going to burp. What does that mean?
We're up to drinking.
Okay, so Robin, as you drink it, you keep the yolk in your throat and then burp and then that goes down last. That goes down like a dream.
Grab the glass. We're filming all this. Now, let's not forget, you're the person who told me I had to drink my own urine last week.
Yeah, that's true. It's called revenge. I get it.
Here's the bin. That's what that was for.
Here we go. Oh.
Burp. Oh.
Okay. It's down the hatch.
Burpy, burp, burp,
make
burp,
some noise. Burp,
burp
or some burp. Burp. Burp.
Down the hatch. You got to swallow
the bin.
It.
I gotcha.
Come on.
I gotcha.
All right, we're still waiting on the swallow. Still not down.
It's still going.
Still not
her hands
down.
Are at her mouth.
It's just in her mouth.
She's not coping. No. Oh, she's towards the bin. Marto's taking a step. No. And she's into the bin.
Oh.
And she's into the bin. The bin is being filled as we speak, and that
that's
is...
Nice. That's...
Robin, how do you feel?
That's so
how do you feel, Robin?
How did that go?
If you're going to cry, do it into the microphone.
Oh, my...
You look great.
Oh, water, water.
Oh, you oh, are just... I'm never...
Oh, now Marto's had a smell of a bin. Oh, Marto needs a shot of Zambuca. Shot of Zambuca to the studio, please.
Very good.
Right. Another prairie oyster, please. Marto needs one now. Marto wants one.
You wrap up.
Fail safe.
See you, mate.
No, good to hear you feeling well.
She's doing great. Marto, there's been a lot of big collects over the...
can we revisit? Remember that guy we spoke to yesterday, Michael Poole, I think his name was, from the Sunny Coast, who Ned's betting agency, the new organisation, they said to him, you can have a bet. Anyone who joined up with Ned's, they drew him out of the hat and they said, righto, you're the man. You give us who you think's going to win and we'll give you $1 million. Does everyone remember what he had?
Yeah. I don't remember what his bet
South
was.
South African off-spinner, Johannes
Vermeer. Hang on, that Tom...
Yes.
Second?
All I could think of was I was sitting there with Brendan at the pub and it burst into the lead with about 300 to go and I'm going, that bloke at the coast is going to win $1 million. He's going to win $1 million. And then it was snatched cruelly from him, of course, when 100 out, the rekindling went past him. Well, that's what I thought until I listened to the drive show yesterday afternoon. They had him on. And then they went, oh, sorry to hear, Michael, that was so cruel, et cetera, et cetera. But he told them that an extraordinary thing happened just before the race.
Just before the race, they offered me a cash out option of $100,000. I told you.
Yeah! Oh, well done. Smart guy.
He took it, so he got $100,000.
Cash out. How good is that?
That's very good.
2 minutes before the race, they said, they must have rung him to taunt him and said, are you sure? Are you sure?
That's great.
Imagine if it had won, though.
I know. I'll tell you one. You hear the other story. Down in Melbourne, it was with TAB.com, whatever they called. This guy, if you had a bet on the first four races with TAB, this is what all these organisations do. They put you in a draw and they rang him, and it would have been in Melbourne, like 2:15 or something or other. They rang him and said, mate, you won the draw. If you put a bet on the Melbourne Cup, tell us what you want, you can win $1 million. Same sort of competition.
Yep.
He's a 45-year-old labourer, okay? A labourer.
Say that again. A 45-year-old
45-year-old labourer, which means, you know, lowest rung on a building site sort of thing.
Yeah.
He was sitting at home on his own. He invited all his mates over, and he put it on rekindling. Have a listen. He invited his mates over because he was obviously just sitting at home. What didn't get, you know, he's not a hoity-toity. Here's him and his mate filming it on their telly in their lounge room.
Get up, Kimmy! Come on, lady! 200 metres to go. Johannes Vermeer in front, but here comes rekindling. Johannes Vermeer, he can't come on, Kimmy! Come on, Kimmy!
Oh, bless.
I can't believe this. I can't believe this. I can't believe this! I can't believe this!
He won. Can't you imagine the people in the TAB office as that same thing? God. Their audio be going, no!
No! Someone.
Whose idea in the meeting was this? So hang on, so that, give away $1 million.
$1 million, and he got it, my God. Okay.
He's not going to work today, he said, because he wants to do some media interviews, he told his boss.
You're not going to work anymore, are you? Ever.
We should give him a ring. Dom Clement, his name is.
Okay.
Good
Let's
call.
See if we can
didn't think like that.
Let's see if we can get him
so
on ourselves.
You're so media savvy, Ed.
Well, we're the media. we want to talk to other people how to collect. We all bummed out. Bam. Nothing. Nothing. Not a cracker in this studio, even though Emma Friedman came on and gave us a great tip. Did you have a collect yesterday? Did you get any winnings on the Melbourne Cup? And maybe you just did it out of blind luck. I just like the name of the horse. I just like the colours. I always bet on the insert name of horses here. Oh, it's got my mum's name. Whatever it was.
Did you pick up a future wife even?
Yeah.
I'll take that as a win.
How did you go on Cup Day? Did you have a win? It doesn't even have to be on the Melbourne Cup race. There's some losers that were betting on all of the races all day.
You looking at me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, we want some good news stories. Who had a collect?
And I got to tell you, we've had not many calls.
No, but this is good. This seems like one of those years where not everyone, you know, I had it. This is why you should be celebrated even more. Mark from Cleveland. Hey, Mark, did you have a win yesterday?
I did. I listened to Richard last night because I thought, I'll give it a go. He won last year, and I thought, I'll give it a go. And this is the first time I'm actually spending more than, like, $20 on the cup.
Yeah.
So I put down $10 on 8 horses. So, win and place in that position.
How'd you go?
And my last horse, I thought, I gut feeling, I'll stick that 22 in. Anyhow, all the other seven horses didn't even make it. I think they went to the parking lot. They went that wide. They went to the parking lot.
Yeah.
And 22 came in. I'm going, I want me money back.
So is that what you got? Because Richard did throw that one in, but he meant you to throw them all in the one box trifecta or quadrilla.
Well, I was in the middle. I was working at the same time trying to find a TAB, you know.
Oh, well
I didn't
done.
Know, and I was just needed to throw something on before I missed it because, you know, when you're driving all day, you miss your opportunity.
Yeah.
So, I won $108 out of $89, so I'm $30 ahead.
Richard. Yeah, there we go. Richard Freeman on our show yesterday gave those, which is great. Now
Emma
Roscoe
Freeman
from,
did too, don't forget. Yeah, she actually said, I agree with Uncle Richard.
Yes, yeah, she did say
go
that.
Go with that. It's a real family show.
Now, Roscoe from Camira. Roscoe, how'd you go?
How you go, mate? I got 1% of the first four.
First four paid about $40,000, didn't it?
$447, so $44,700
something. Oh, yeah. Nice.
That's not too bad, Roscoe.
But the worst part of it was none of the four horses were my horses. My wife and I picked four each.
Yeah.
And she got all the kids' birthdays.
She's got
the kids' birthdays come in.
Oh, she's got hand.
The kids' birthdays. Yep, well, technical.
It worked.
Technical expertise. Thank you, Roscoe. Steve from Shayla Park, have a win, mate.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Yeah, we ran a sweep at work, so I threw a fiver down, and it was pure luck. And, it got rekindling, so I turned the $5 into $70.
Well, that's good.
Where are you working? I know we had a bit of a fashion parade here at work, didn't we? Well, I wasn't here, but what would your work do when the race was on?
Oh, we all stopped and sat around the telly in the lunchroom and thought, bugger it, yeah, let's make an afternoon of it.
Oh, so that was the end of work, knocked it on the head then?
Yeah, that's it.
Everyone hated you.
I got my winning, so I was out.
Steve-o.
Good one.
And Cheryl of Mackenzie, you won?
I did. I won on your Triple M sweep yesterday.
Oh, you were out. Yes, right. You had rekindling.
Yay.
Hey.
What did we say we were going to give you again?
You didn't.
No, you've come to claim your prize, and that's fair enough.
Does anyone remember what we said?
Yes, I do, mate. You're going to the Greek Club,
Greek
Cheryl.
Club, yeah.
Indulge in a taste of Greece right here in Brisbane, Odyssey Taverna Cafe and Bar. $100 for you, Cheryl. Well done.
That's fantastic. And not only that, because I got rekindling and because Emma Friedman went and she recommended it yesterday, I went and put $5 each way on it as well.
Oh, my God,
so what did you win?
$108.
You've had a huge win,
well done, Cheryl.
I had a great day.
Cheryl, do you love us a lot?
I do love you a lot.
Well, I'm going to also give you a day on the green. Triple M's presenting a day on the green with the Living End Spider Bait and a few other bands.
Oh, wow, thanks. Wow, that's great.
At Ceramay Wines, what's that, February 25?
Yes.
Enjoy. You are a winner.
Thank you.
Cheryl, what a play.
You can be bubbly for me today too, Cheryl. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
Does anyone remember, didn't I say whoever came last was going to get Bad Mums 2 tickets?
Yeah, yes. That's true.
Bad Mums 2. They haven't rung up, eh? Playing their prize.
Triple M.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Ashes are coming up. We got your tickets here at Triple M. Don't you worry about that. And you could be, by the looks of things, Marto, with the selection trials, i.e. the Sheffield Shield going on at the Mo, you could be watching young Jake Lehman stepping out at number 6 to play in a side coached by his father, Darren Buff Lehman.
I love this. It's so Australian.
Now,
like
I
growing up.
Big Darren Lehman fan, as you know, and I am very excited about the prospects of young Jake Lehman because playing for South Australia, he looks like his old man. His old man had Darren Lehman had a good test career. People forget that. But averaged in the 40s, had limited opportunities, and
don't
did
forget,
a very good job.
Remember for how long he was 12th man and they just didn't give him runs.
So many
I think
times,
by the time he played his first game for Australia, he had scored the most number of runs in domestic cricket of any cricketer playing there, making their debut.
Yep.
So his
way.
Old man had to wait forever. Why do we go? This kid's 25. He's not a kid.
Mm. I know. And he might be the best person for the job at six. I think it's problematic that you are in a team coached by your father. I'm only going by...
Lachlan Murdoch?
Well,
even if it's the Australian team where so many people have an input into what's going on.
Even more so, because Darren's had to excuse himself from the selection table when his son is being discussed. And, okay, all right, well, hang on. So now Darren Lehman's not involved in every discussion for the best number six batsman? That's insane. Now, I don't know what the solution is, but what I want to know is, are there situations that people have had in their own lives where father-son, mother-son, you know, mother-daughter, coaching, cross-generational coaching situations have worked out? Isn't there a problem? Hang on, Brenda, you'll know more about this because of Penrith, but Ivan Cleary and
Nathan Cleary,
haven't they both said that they would never work in a professional side where one was the coach and one and he was
trying
to play halfback?
Yeah, I think they both think it's a bit weird. But also with Penrith, maybe a decade ago, there was Martin Lang and...
Johnny Lang.
Yeah, and they won a premiership together. They worked all right. Wayne from Nambour called, actually, Ed Cavalier to say Lindsay and Andrew Gaze worked together.
Right.
And
Melbourne
that was
Tigers.
Yes.
Melbourne Tigers. They might have been in the Boomers together too.
Maybe I'm about to stand corrected. When I
Harry Packer and James.
That didn't work.
I didn't know.
okay, so you want people in their own personal lives, situations where it's happened.
Has it worked? Tony from Harvey Bay, your dad was the coach of your team. What were the problems, mate?
Oh, well, there were no problems except for him being harder on me than the other squad. I found it that he'd be twice as hard on me to make the team than any of the other squad members.
Well, what about at training? Did he pull you aside a lot more and chip you?
Oh, he chipped us all, but it was more so that there was no guarantee that I would make the team, even though he was the coach. So I played representative basketball in Queensland, and he was our coach or head coach at the time. And, there was no give at all. It was just I had to prove myself twice as hard.
I guess that's for the other kids as well, because I don't want to be like, well, the other parents, like, well, the only Tony's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tony's just picking
Brian
his Tony's dad's
like nepotism is alive and well. Brooke of Shayla Park, what happened?
My mum was my coach of my netball team for 4 years, and we were continuously undefeated.
Okay.
Well, now, were you on the bench?
No, I was a full-time starter, as with the rest. Like, there was seven of us that started full-time each week and one girl that was on the bench because she was ill, so she was in and out of hospital.
I'm sorry about that. What was on your bib? What position?
I was wing defence.
Fast forward.
Yeah, we're sort of left out of the main stuff, though, you'd be fair, though. Wing defence is the one. That's the one position you don't need, though, isn't it, Brooke? Mm. Really, wing defence.
It's like your little finger. Well, if you had to chop one off, that's it.
Yeah, you know? if we were down to six players, we would drop that and I would move elsewhere.
Oh, you'd move. Someone else had to go off. Okay.
Yeah.
She was good.
Well, it worked
player.
For Brooke.
I can't help but think Brooke wanted to talk about her netball career a lot more. Andrew from Jimboomba, yours isn't from sport. Though, your example.
No.
What's the story?
No. I own a business and I've got, I've given my son a job and I've got other guys that are in making big decisions with me for the future of the business. Now, my son, he's the best candidate for promotion and I don't know whether to give it to him, mate.
Or have you ever watched Modern Family? You know, Jay owns the wardrobe factory and got his daughter the... Are you laughing? Got his daughter the job. And then when she goes and makes new decisions on what sort of wardrobe's going to be the big one this year, all the other people snigger at her because she just can't make a decision. Is it like that, Andrew?
No, the lad's good at what he does.
I think
it's more that they want to hold him back because they want to have a crack at me.
Ooh. Okay, so are you the boss, Andrew?
Wow. Yeah.
You own the business?
Yeah, I do.
You can do whatever you like.
Don't worry, it's on the cards. Might be moving a few more offside.
Oh, jeez, there's a threat. Game of Thrones.
It's like the North, it's like the North Korean regime, Andrew's business. I like it. It's your business.
Good luck. It's Marto, Ed and Robin on Triple M.
Marto, legacy is a cause that you often bring up around the obviously around the merchandise you can buy and the lunches that they have is something that you've always seen as a
well. They helped my helped my father-in-law and they helped my mother-in-law after he was dead, mate. They don't forget what happens after you've served our country.
That's very, very true. They've helped out the families of servicemen over many, many, many years, and that also applies to our next guest, Corporal Mark Donaldson. I never know if it's Mark. Are you formerly of the SAS or are you still in the SAS?
I've just recently retired, so former.
Oh.
I get to put the little brackets with the letters in the thing now.
Wonderful. RET. How long were you in the SAS for?
Just under 15 years.
Okay, and you served obviously in Afghanistan, where you were part of where you received the VC, and you've served in many different places as well. But what did legacy do for you when you were a young man?
I was a 15-year-old teenager, and my father died of a heart attack quite suddenly. And the fact that he was a Vietnam veteran, legacy stepped in, and some great people around him from a small town in northern New South Wales, and some of the local guys that were in Vietnam at the same time sort of ran and looked after legacy and those sorts of things, and they stepped in and supported our family. And probably not just, you know, purely through a financial point of view, but support for my mother at the time, who, you know, all of a sudden became a single mum with two teenage boys. But more so from that aspect of just having someone there to be able to assist and help. And that's really where I sort of first was introduced into legacy and the great work that they do.
The lieutenant that did a lot of the counselling for you, that you obviously talked to him and tried to get your head through everything. How did you what were your conversations like for you to end up going into the military?
It was kind of funny for me because I was the last person that was probably going to join the military.
Yeah.
In everybody else's eyes, I was a bit of a rat bag and, you know, in trouble with the law and whatnot. But, you know, they were really, really good about it as well, in the sense of from a supporting point of view was, well, what do you want to do with your life and your career? And you know, they kind of not steer you, what I would say, in the right direction, but give you guidance in your decisions. The beautiful thing about legacy that I found was, and the unique thing about it, is it's ongoing. Like, it's an ongoing support. It's an ongoing promise to always support those families.
It is kind of the time of year that we think about our armed forces. What sort of career is it, do you think? And I ask this, I guess, from a personal situation, because my son's in year 12 and I am taking him to Ann Street and to go and talk to the Defence Forces. Is it something that you would recommend for your kids?
I would. My wife probably disagrees, certainly for my young fella. But, you know, there's always that, I guess, thing with the Defence Forces that you may have to go, whether it's, you know, in country, God forbid, or, you know, overseas and do go to a war zone or a conflict zone. But for me, I would definitely recommend it on many, many different levels. From one point of view, it's a great networking opportunity. It's a great step up into many other possibilities for the rest of your life. It's a great way to develop teamwork. It's a great way to understand how to take responsibility of your choices. And sometimes, you know, as a younger person, we can sometimes forget those things. One of the other good things is it's actually a really, really, it's not as, I suppose, regimented as what people would think. It's not all about shiny boots and tight laces and neat haircuts. It's there's some really, really good adventures you get to go on and some really big doors that can open from it. And, you know, one of those can definitely be sport. You know, sport in the military is a huge thing.
Hey, Mark, can I ask you about that day you got? Well, the reason you got your VC is you grabbed a foreign interpreter and dragged them across the battleground there in Afghanistan. There was machine gun fire, I remember reading. What was that like to hear bullets? Can you describe that to anyone these days? What was it like to hear the bullets whistling above you?
Yeah, look, I'm not the most articulate person, but it's actually really quite difficult to describe. And I've seen it written in quite a few books and things, but one of the best ways I've heard it or seen it written is that real snappy sort of sound, like a guitar string breaking under tension. It's a weird kind of feeling, kind of sound, but without sounding like a tough guy, after a while you kind of get used to it, and you get used to a point of, okay, that one was really close because it sounded really close, and you can almost feel it.
Well, Mark Donaldson, it is an incredible story. Corporal Mark Donaldson, SAS, brackets, retired, close brackets. legacy.com.au for people to donate. Obviously, they do absolutely fantastic ongoing work with families that need help. Mate, lunch is coming up very shortly as well. All the details, legacy.com.au. Good on you, Mark. We'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, great. Thanks very much. And can I just say, I'd just like to thank everyone in Brisbane. Always such a great supporters up there of defence and our emergency services. And you always come out and support that community. So thank you very much.
See you at lunch tomorrow, mate.
See you, mate.
Cheers.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centred around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
Tough old Melbourne Cup to pick yesterday, wasn't it?
Oh, it's a day for rich people. Let's face facts that they all love their little bird enclosure, whatever they call it.
Bird cage.
And they all win lots of money. But really, it's about the fair income people. We saw that guy with Ned's, the guy up here in Sunshine Coast, Michael. He had the chance to win $1 million. He put it on Johannes Vermeer. 2 minutes before the race, Ned's rang him and said, hey, you want to pull out? You want to cash out? Do you want to, we'll give you $100,000 if you don't have the bet on Johannes Vermeer. Winner. But there was an even bigger story coming out of the race, and it was TAB.com gave a guy. They rang him. Well, find out when we speak to him in a second. But this is in his lounge room. This is Dom's lounge room. He won $1 million on rekindling.
Get up, Kinley! Come on, baby! 200 metres to go. Johannes Vermeer in front, but here comes rekindling. Johannes Vermeer.
Come on, Kinley! Come on, Kinley! I can't believe this.
Oh, how good.
Here he is. And he joins us on the line, Don Clementi, who won $1 million with the Tab Corp yesterday with their promotion. Don, mate, congratulations. Dom.
Thank you, mate. Thank you.
Can you believe it now?
No, it's just been surreal. It's just been really whirlwind since 4 o'clock yesterday.
So, Dom, you're from Melbourne, so you had the day off yesterday. You had a bet on one of the first four races, and then they drew you out. What time did they ring you to say, listen, you want to put some money, you can win $1 million if you have a go at one horse? What happened from there?
Okay, yeah, I got the call from the Tab, and the boys are from Tab, and, you know, yeah, they gave me a 15-minute deadline to come up with a selection, so... Yeah, it was probably one of the most agonising 15 minutes of my life, I think.
Were you always going to go rekindling when the day started?
Mate, I was tossing up between the runner-up and that. They were the two that I was keen on. Oh.
Now, why were you... So, what made you... Out of all of the horses, Dom, yeah. what made you want to go rekindling?
Well, I've got a healthy respect for the trainer. I think he's going to be a future superstar, probably one of the best trainers ever.
Okay, so you know your stuff. Yep.
The class of the horse and the weight. Predominantly, I thought the weight was the main thing, yeah.
And what's the biggest win you've had before this on the Melbourne Cup?
I don't know, probably about 20-odd grand.
Oh, okay, oh, so you know what you're doing.
Dom knows what's up.
I've been a punter since 10 years. I'm a racing tragic, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, Dom, what happens to your life now? You've won $1 million.
It's definitely a life-changer for a person in my situation, but, yeah, I haven't really got my head around that. Just been too busy, just loving the moment. Yeah.
Well, your situation, I've told you're a 45-year-old builder's labourer who lives on his own. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
How are the girls? How's the girl department last night? Were a few old girlfriends ringing up?
There's quite a few messages and phone calls there.
Is it true that Sophie Monk was the first one to ring?
She might have been one of the missed calls. I don't know. I've got to go through that, mate.
Have you had a vasectomy, Dom?
Oh, stop it.
All right, sorry.
Hey, Dom, are you going to go back to work?
No, not for a while, mate.
No. Go, Aussie. I love that. What did you ring the boss? You've told the boss.
Oh, yeah, no, I work for my own. I just do a bit of part-time. Like, I've been really out of work for the last 6-7 months. Just been just for health reasons. And, yeah, just sort of... The timing of the whole situation just couldn't work out any better.
Oh, so happy.
Like I said, it's just a life-changing situation, yeah.
Well, hey, Dom, you know, do us a favour. Please make sure you spend it wisely. You know what I mean? I've got this... I've got a contact with a Nigerian prince who'd love to speak to you as well. What do you reckon?
You're ready to... about 3 o'clock in the morning.
He's already cool.
I bet he is.
Dom, $1 million richer. You won it yesterday with the Tabcorp promotion. Oh, yeah. Congratulations, mate. Love your attitude. Well played.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Have a good one.
Robin Bailey, you're feeling a little under the weather. You partied a bit too hard, hungover from Melbourne Cup. So we gave you a hangover cure. What was in it?
Raw egg. Tabasco, Worcestershire sauce, salt and pepper. I was hoping for a bit of tomato juice, but no, I managed to make it into my mouth and then into a garbage bin, which made Marto throw up. So
no,
check out
I
the
didn't
video.
I throw up, I just gagged.
But how do you feel?
Actually, I don't feel too badly. Now, considering the egg didn't actually go anywhere except in the bin, it must have been the Worcestershire and the salt and pepper.
I think it's the adrenaline, the shock and fear that went into your body. And then,
there's a fair bit of that going on. Yesterday, Melbourne Cup, if you saw anything unusual, give us a call, 1-333-53.
No. Let's just talk about the contrast between the three of us. There was you at the fancy pants do.
At the Osborne, which was fantastic.
And there was girls everywhere at those sort of do's. I was at... the Crown Hotel, the closest thing we've got to a Northern Territory hotel in Brisbane. Would that be a nice way to put it?
It's relaxed.
It's relaxed. It's very relaxed. Mm. Anyway, and Ed...
you were at home, weren't you?
I was on a couch being thrown up on.
See, that's the best excuse.
My little 7-week-old son... was asleep, so we had to watch the cup with the sound off. So I had no idea who won.
No one has any idea because people like Robin, all full of champagne, for 3.5 minutes. That's all
pretty
it
much.
Is.
We were getting excited.
I'll tell you, Brendan and I went to the Crown Hotel at Lutwich, obviously the Lutwich Shopping Centre. Ah, yes. Just before the race started, about 10 to 2, the national anthem played.
Katie Noonan sang it, didn't she?
People stood up at the Crown Hotel.
Did they?
Yeah, I just had my schnitty delivered.
That's good. Well done, them.
Is that bizarre?
Well, we felt very pressured. We felt like we had to join it.
Our schnitty had just been there. We had our food.
Going
to have to get up.
Yeah. Did you stop eating or was it mid-mouthful?
No, we stopped eating and just went, I had a chip. I just had one chip. I don't know. I was told was happening at events like yours, the fancy ones. A lot of girls taking their wedding rings off yesterday, I believe.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
One of those sort of days.
Does that work? Can't you see the tan mark? Oh. If you look hard enough, yeah, but you boys don't look. You're just grateful someone's interested.
That's true. not at the Crown Hotel, you're not.
Could be in the wedding dress.
The other thing that happened yesterday that my girlfriend got caught up in, she was late to coming to the Osborne because she booked an Uber and it said it was going to be 5 minutes away, and then she checked and the Uber had stopped in McDonald's. So she called him and said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I'll be another 20 minutes. And she's like, "Well, no, I need to be there." So she cancelled, got a cancellation fee, then rebooked with Uber, got him back.
Oh, no.
But it was in a surge time and it costed 2.5 times.
Oh, get stuffed.
Yeah, man. Isn't that terrible? See, these are the things that go on Melbourne Cup.
The cab was supposed to take half an hour for me. I just said, no, I'll drive and just drink gold. So I just gave up.
Oh,
that's
really
the sort of day Melbourne Cup Day is. You know what I saw this morning?
What?
Even before I left my street, 3 taxis. And I'm in Newmarket. There were cabs everywhere. I reckon there was a lot of sloppy sleepovers last night.
Do you reckon?
I don't know.
I didn't see anyone in the fountain, though. That's usually a Melbourne Cup thing.
No, well, they're backpackers. They went through life not even knowing the Melbourne Cup was on. It's for locals.
Okay, what did you see? Tell us. We'd love to hear about it this morning. Rodney of Bivale, what did you see?
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, what have you seen, mate?
This morning at 10 to 7, I was coming past the Eagle Farm Racecourse and there was 2 very well-dressed young ladies, even still had their fascinators on, but staggering and holding their shoes in their hand.
Mm. At 10 to 7 this morning, what did they have a lie down in the stables?
No, I'm not saying what I was thinking then.
No, I'll leave it there. Thanks, Rod.
They've jagged a jockey.
Do you reckon together? Don't answer that. Oh, Sarah of Breckenridge. Sarah, good morning.
G'day.
What'd you say?
Hi. I was in the waiting room at radiation for my mum at the hospital, and halfway through the race, a lady tried to start a slow clap, and no one joined in, so she just sat back down and ate her sandwich.
Oh, dear.
That's the saddest thing ever. I've never
heard. Oh, that's a shocker.
Amazing. What was the slow clap about, Sarah? It's not a slow clap type of event. Day. What did she think it was?
Yeah, no, I don't understand, because she, before the race, she openly admitted that she hadn't bet on anything, so...
Ah, she was already outside.
Yeah.
What a day. It'll be better next year, Sarah.
Yeah.
It'll be better. Good luck with mum.
Yeah.
I had to get a slow clap started at the hospital.
Oh, dear.
Jesus.
Hey, Ed, Robin, when there's terrible events going down, like a terrible tragedy is unfolding, what do we like people to do, Ed?
Step forward. People who step
forward rather than just turn on your phone or run away.
Absolutely. Do something if you can.
Amidst all the nonsense of the Melbourne Cup Day and everything else, I saw on the news last night on Channel 9 News an incredible act of heroism. He was a guy, roof tiler. Mm-hmm. Luke Davis, his name is. I'll give him a rap. It happened at Wirram. There was a terrible house unit fire yesterday at Wirram. A man died.
Where's Wirram?
Wirram Beach is on the eastern beach of Bribie. Oh, so you go to Bribie across on the bridge, then you drive all the way across the island. So Wirram's that little community there. So on the second floor of this thing, Luke Davis and his son, they were tiling a roof about 300 metres away. So they're on the roof. It's amazing, people. When you work on a roof, you can see everything, okay? You always go, should have built up here.
Wow.
It is incredible. So they've looked across, they saw this fire, and it was really black smoke. It was a terrible fire. And they've gone down their ladder, folded the ladder up. They ran about 300 metres through backyards, across roads with a double extendo ladder because it was on the second floor. They must have realised, we can help out. They ran there. They scaled up. There was a guy on the balcony and they showed the smoke. Somebody had taken a video of how wicked it was. They've gone up there. They've saved this guy. He had dementia, apparently.
Mm.
They saved him. You know, imagine that. That's a dead weight going down a ladder up the second floor. It was incredible. And I just wanted to give anyone knows Luke, tell him you got a big shout out on Triple M. A bloke died in the fire.
Oh,
another bloke
wow.
they couldn't get out. I just wanted to shout out, what a hero. While everyone else was stuffing around being idiots yesterday, this bloke was saving someone's life, Luke Davis. And here he is, Luke, because I knew that he didn't want to talk himself up, but I want to say, mate, you're a hero.
Luckily, my labourer was there and we were able to get him down and carry him down. Suffered from dementia quite badly, so he probably still doesn't know what's going on. But, he'll live another day. Pretty much once we got down, there was no going back up. The smoke was that thick.
What a hero sounds like.
We salute you.
Good on you.
Yeah, good on you, mate.
Mato, Ed and Robin. It's Brisbane's Triple M.
Hide for hire. Safely taking you to new heights.
Mato, Ed and Robin. Lend a hand.
Yes, winners are the people who get in touch on our Lend a Hand page and tell us about their junior sporting club that needs help because, geez, that hype for hire mob, they're desperate to help, Marto. They just ring you out of the blue and say, what can we do to help? And we've had a call from Sandra. Now, Sandra's got a plucky young group of sports people that need help. This is what she's told us.
Our team, the Trojan Whites, we're going up to state championship in Townsville next July.
What do you need?
We want to have for the kids like a T-shirt or polo, but probably T-shirt, so they can keep as a memento, you know, Trojan Whites under 14, you know, where they played, like Townsville Stadium.
It's nice.
2018.
And you look like a team.
And you look like a dad.
Yeah. So that's what we want for them to have to be able to keep as a memento.
Yep, well, we've got some great news. Our local Brisbane company has come on board to help out, so that's coming up a little bit later today. We've also already helped out Everton Park Junior Rugby Club, also got the North Pines AFL Club. So if you've got a sporting club, a little junior sporting club, you just need a little bit of help, a little something that's been bothering you.
What about
the
Jimboomba Stingray Swim Club? We went down, got their hot water system so they could actually have hot showers with their more than 300 kids.
Yeah, that's right. So hit up the Lend a Hand page at triplem.com.au. No job too big, no job too small. Height for hire and our very good selves would love to help. Although I don't think, who was it, Marto? Was it the Caboolture Cobras? They're lawn bowls who asked for a high performance manager and 16 cryo chambers. Sorry, guys, we are unable to provide those.
Get in touch.
Too late.
Triplem.com.au. It is all thanks to Height for Hire, safely taking you to new heights. Marto, Ed and Robin on Triple M.